it's Trevor Grant. Welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. Today we are joined by Pablo Delgado, CEO of Mirai. In our last conversation with Pablo, we discussed how the hotel distribution landscape could change going forward. Today, we talk specifically about Google and the role it plays. We look at how Google has evolved a number of its products and how they can be of real value to hotels in a risk-free way. We explore the possible winners and losers because of Google's ever-increasing dominance. And finally, we consider how the likes of Amazon, Facebook, Apple, and Microsoft may drive consolidation of meta search and OTAs in the travel space. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. Let's get started.
Hi, Pablo. Great to have you with us again. How are things with you?
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah. Interesting times as some of us are starting to open up in different countries, and then other countries are still seeing peaks. A challenging time for the hotel hospitality sector, and I guess interesting times for you guys supporting the hotel sector as you see those variances around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And this crisis is very different depending on what country you live and where the hotels are based. So Europe is doing better. America is doing worse today, but nobody knows in October or in December what will happen. So it's definitely very uncertain times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as I say, it's great to have you with us again. It's been a couple of months since we did a video, and we'll refer back to that in a moment. But for those that may not have seen that video, could you just give us a quick introduction into you and Mirai, please? That would be great.
Sure. Yeah, so Mirai is a company that what we do is we try to help hotels understand distribution and at the end of the day make more money, right? Make more money by selling more direct,
yeah,
as opposed to through intermediation, especially online players such as Expedia and Booking. And it's not only a technology company; it is a technology, it is a marketing, it is a distribution consultancy company. So we try to cover all the aspects that the hotel needs to try to compete with the OTAs and the rest of the channels, right? So this is basically what we do.
Excellent. And that links in nicely because in the last video that we did towards the end of April, you were talking us through your views of how there would be no new normal in the hotel distribution space. And we were seeing a lot of changes going on at that time. A couple of months have gone past from your experience and what you're seeing sort of data-wise. Any kind of trends or patterns coming through that you can update us on?
Yeah, and I think it's a little early, but at least we have some data, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just opinions or guesses, but facts, right?
Yeah.
And definitely the domestic market is the market in every country that is doing better. Mm-hmm. Those markets with a strong domestic market are performing much better than expected. And those who don't have a domestic market that is strong are struggling, right?
Yep.
And for those that are reopening their hotels, the channels that are working better are the online players, right? Because they are very open, they are very dynamic, and they are very fast to activate, as opposed to tour operators or offline players that need more time to activate all their mechanisms, right?
Yeah.
And within or among the online players, the direct is doing better than the rest, right?
So the direct channel.
So our data suggests that it is getting market share. And why, this is probably we need a couple of hours to discuss that. But, but I think many clients want to book direct. They don't trust maybe the intermediation, mm-hmm. the problems they're having by booking through a third company that they don't know if what will happen if they have a problem. I think that the many problems that people had in the past booking flights and hotels through third-party players, now that they had to change or cancel or refund, they know that the benefits of booking or buying direct, right?
Yeah, I have to say, having gone through that myself recently, it's a painful
experience. I spent 3 hours last week trying to change a flight. 3 hours.
Wow.
That's a lot of time.
yeah, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time. Well, we're going to be focusing not as broadly on the whole distribution channels, but really looking at one particular rather dominant player and narrowing our focus down around Google. Now, again, you know, we've spoken before. We follow your blog. You write a lot of articles as personally and as a company around Google and what they're doing. So we thought it would be great to get you on to talk on two sides of it, really. One, what's been going on within Google, because this, I see so many announcements, so many products. It's, for someone that's not in that space, it's quite confusing. So a bit of clarity will probably be useful. And then what we also want to look at is then kind of this dominant position that they have. What are the implications, and is anyone actually going to win or going to lose apart from Google in this? So let's maybe start off with, giving us an insight into maybe some of the changes that have gone on, or, you know, we're seeing these product announcements. Are these new products? Have they been around for a while? Are they just renames? I mean, I'll throw out the paper stay, the paper booking, but I mean, just talk us through your expertise of what you are seeing that may be confusing mm-hmm. those outside the market a little bit about what's going on.
I think Google is a absolutely great company in many, many aspects. But one thing that's sometimes a little surprising is the way they name their products and the way or the frequency that they change the names of their products so often, right? Yeah. And which I think is sometimes it's confusing. And I'm a little surprised with the news that I have read in the last few weeks about the Google launching a commission model, right? A commission model Meta. And if it was new, right?
And so it's like this new product release.
It's new, and a lot of people talking about it. Oh, it's a great advantage. It's a great tool. Blah blah blah. Right. The truth is that Google launched this commission program a long time ago, like 3-4 years ago. I don't remember exactly.
Right. Okay.
And the first name that Google gave this product was Google Hotel Ads Commission Program, which is GHACP, right?
Nice catchy name.
Yeah, it is a catchy name. But it was a name, and it existed. It has been existing for a long time. Mm-hmm. The truth at the same time is that this program wasn't open for everybody. So big chains had access to it. Large aggregators of company or integration partners, which aggregated lots of hotels, had access to it. We had access to commission program long time ago. So we, for instance, have been offering commission program in Google Hotel Ads for ages, right? That a net of cancellations commission program with a minimum commission of 10%, right?
Right.
But a net of cancellations.
Okay.
And cash flow positive. So you get money from the client, you as a hotelier, you get money from the client and you pay to Google, right? The commission.
Yeah.
So this program existed and was launched a few years ago. And the news today are more in the change of the name of the program. Now it's called Commission per Stay, right?
Okay, yeah.
But it's the same program.
Okay.
It is a Google Hotel Ads Commission program. But there's another news that this is true, that it is something new, which is this program was open to all the hotels, not only the big aggregators or the big chains.
I've got
all the hotels.
So if I was a small hotel, 30 rooms, normally I wouldn't have had access to it. Now I can.
Well, you don't have access directly. You have access through your integration partner. Small integration partners now have access to this program.
I've got you.
They
okay.
didn't have, and now they do have. However, I'm not sure if this change has made an impact, because the small players, the small integration partners are usually not that fast. And now they have access, but now they have to develop integration and test it and roll the program out in their clients, right? I don't know how many new hotels have been launching commission because of this, right? Because this is something that you can do from one day to another. Right. But in that aspect, there's something new. But this commission program already existed a long time ago.
And do you think this is a change just to reflect the COVID situation and opening things up to help hotels? Do you think it's something that would revert back, or is this going to be a permanent feature, do you think?
But for Google or for any meta search, it is difficult to work with thousands of small companies.
Yeah.
I mean, the long tail is always difficult to manage. That is true. It's much easier to work with few players that aggregate 90% of the, of the market. So, but at the same time, in this is not a consolidated industry. There's still a lot of fragmentation. A lot of companies, especially regional companies, especially in small countries. In the US, I think we talked last time that the US is a very consolidated market in all industries. But in other continents, such as Asia or Europe, there is a lot of fragmentation. And in each country, there is a different language, a different culture, different players, different rules, different laws, right? So it makes sense that it's a small player dominating that market. So if you want to get into that market, you need to adapt to those players. So if you leave them out because they're small, you're out of that market. And Europe is full of small countries, as you know. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that they have done this. But their cost will increase, their maintenance cost will increase, but they, at least they have now the possibility to get into small countries. But the long tail, the beauty of the long tail is a big volume, right? But very, very fragmented. So I don't think they will revert this. That's my opinion, because I don't know, but I don't think they will. They will revert, or this is at least what they just said, some other of the decisions they made to help hotels. And because that one of the things that they did was the in the commission program, the commission per stay program, the minimum commission was 10%. And now for this COVID-19, they help hotels by reducing that minimum commission. And you can now be 5%, 6%, 7%, 4% until one date that I think the new date is July 31st. I think that will be reverted. I don't know if that date, in maybe one month later or 2 months later.
So at some point that, you see that changing back to the 10% again.
Well, Google announced that it was temporary. So they didn't announce it as a permanent decision. I don't know about the date, but it's a good decision to help hotels. I mean, we, for instance, as an integration partner, we are using it. We're taking advantage of it. And hotels like it, and I mean, because somebody that is helping, I mean, it's always a good is a good thing, right? And lowering the bad thing is that there's little demand, right? But if with that demand, with those bookings, you're paying lower commission. I mean, that's better, right? So I think that would be reverted, correct?
And I mean, you've got the, as you say, you've got your, you know, you need the integration to be able to utilize it. So, and when you spoke previously about when we were looking at the no new normal, there are a number of different costs that are associated. It's not always just the cost of the commission that you pay. So, I mean, there can at times be cost elements through the integration piece as well. If I remember, you explained that in the last video, is that right?
Well, you mean about the integration, the with the meta player?
And with you said the integration when the hotel needs the integration partner to get in to utilize these
So the technology has an additional cost. That is correct. So, on top of Google's commission,
yes,
you need to pay the if you're using a third party solution, you need to pay that third party solution, right?
Yeah.
If you are using your booking engine solution, some players have an additional cost, some others don't.
Yeah,
and so it's not only Google's cost. It's some of all of those factors, right?
Yeah, and I think that was the bit that I wanted to highlight. That again, we can look at it, you know, as a hotelier listens to this and they think, okay, great, I'll use that great initiative, but yes, you got to have an integration partner to be able to do it. Then there may be another. It doesn't mean you don't look at it, but I remember you always emphasized very strongly to me that, you know, it's always looking at the complete cost associated with this, not just a commission cost.
Direct channel, it is not free. That's for sure.
Absolutely,
it's not cheap either, but it is for sure much more profitable than selling through Expedia and Booking.
Yeah.
So many hotels think that selling direct should be at no cost or very little cost. And that's a bad assumption to start with.
Yeah.
So I think if once you understand and you see, you don't see the cost, but you see the savings part, you start selling more direct because you don't care paying for selling direct, because you know that you're saving money at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Change of mindset.
Looking at the savings made rather than that has a cost associated.
Exactly, that's correct.
And talking about maybe new products or old products with a new name, I also picked up around, and I think you had written an article about this, around the property promotion ads. Mm-hmm. Can you just touch on that and summarize that a little bit for us?
Well, property promotion ads is an evolution, again, of something that Google did in the past, that it was called Google Promoted Hotels.
Okay,
and that's a way of allowing hotels to bid on generic keywords instead of the name of the hotel.
Okay.
So if you see the funnel being on the first step, the inspiration, right, of where I'm going to travel, and the bottom side of the funnel, the actual booking, right?
Yes.
Google Promoted Hotels and now Property Promotion Ad targets it, the upper part of the funnel. Users looking for a destination.
So that sort of dreaming inspiration kind of part.
Yeah,
of it,
correct.
Yeah.
Look, hotels in Barcelona, hotels in Punta Cana, for instance.
Yeah.
And it's, the beauty of property promotion ads is that it's a tool for hotels to compete with the OTAs in a place that has always been very, very expensive for hotels to bid, which is hotels in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very expensive keywords. In CPC terms, in cost per click, you could spend $2, $3, $4, $5 per click.
Wow.
In certain, depending on the keywords. For instance, hotels in Las Vegas, that's very expensive keywords to bid.
Yeah.
In CPC, right?
Yeah.
So property promotion ad, which is an evolution of Google Promoted Hotels, has a great thing, which is it allows you to bid on these keywords, right? Or to bid in this part of the funnel, not on the name of the hotel, which is, in terms of hotel mindset, it is new demand. It is people who don't know about you, right? But they want to go to the place where your hotel is.
So a bit like me, and we've spoken about this before, I don't start with, I want to go to this hotel. Because
nobody does.
It's very often, I think I want to go to this location, or I might want to do this activity, and so where would I go to do that? And that becomes my starting point.
Correct. And that's the volume of people doing these searches is very high.
Mm-hmm.
So, and given that the only model to bid there was CPC, it was exclusive turf for OTAs, right?
Okay.
So only Booking, Expedia, TripAdvisor bid on that part of the funnel.
Yeah.
Hotels couldn't, except the big brands such as Marriott or Hilton, that they have
they
lots
have
of
the budget,
properties,
would they?
Right?
Yeah.
And they had a lot of properties, so the conversion rates would probably be much higher. But if you had one single hotel in the center of Barcelona, it is crazy to bid on hotels in Barcelona.
Yeah.
But the beauty of property promotion is not only the tool to bid there, but the revenue or the cost model to be there, but you don't have to pay on a cost per click. You now can be in a commission model. So
you can so bring those two together, right? Okay.
Combined with the commission per stay model, right?
Ah, okay.
The formerly known Google Hotel Ad Commission program. So now you can be in hotels in Barcelona paying a commission.
So you could say, okay, because I know I'm only paying if I get a booking, I can, if it's going to cost me $2 or $4 or euros, whatever it might be, I'm going to have a go because at least I know I'm only paying if I actually get a booking off the back of it.
Correct.
Right. That's it. Okay.
There's a risk-free model for hotels.
Yeah.
And definitely a great option to compete with OTAs in a place that before it was impossible for you.
Oh, absolutely. But
there's one thing or one caveat that we have to consider, that is you cannot expect to compete with Booking Expedia by beating 10%, right?
No.
Because they will be much more aggressive than you. So they will win the auction. So it's important to understand that Google property promotion ads, it is new demand for you. It is a client that is not looking for your hotel. So in your eyes, you cannot pretend to have that red line that is this 20% commission that you pay to Booking Expedia. Oh no, if I pay 25% commission, I prefer that the user books through to Booking or through Expedia. That assumption is not correct in the upper side of the funnel, because if a person looking for a hotel in Manchester, you should be much more willing to pay 30, 40, 50% commission to get that client to your hotel, especially in the low season that you have lots of rooms empty, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if you pretend to compete in these places with a low commission, it will not work either.
You're just going to lose out.
So you need to understand that the upper side of the funnel, it is higher volume, much higher volume of users, much lower conversion rates, mm-hmm. right? Because people that are just playing, they are playing around different hotels.
Yeah. Yeah.
So lower conversion, right? But the thing is, if you can make this higher volume and lower conversion profitable through a commission model, it is a great place to be, or at least to give it a try. And the beauty of property promotion ad is not the evolution, because Google promoted hotels already existed. It is the combination with the commission model.
Yeah, no, that I can makes see how that's so much more powerful.
Place to be.
Yeah. Correct. Because before, as you say, if it was CPC, then you just wouldn't be able to compete.
Correct. Absolutely. But the evolution is not only the model, the commission model. The property promotion ad is combined with Google Ads.
Yes.
So now you can create campaigns
for
specific markets. For instance, I can bid on hotels in Barcelona for people searching from the United States.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can combine with the strength or the power of Google Ads.
Interesting.
Because it's the same. It's the same interface.
Absolutely.
Right. Same tool to create the campaigns. So it's a very, very powerful tool. And for the hotel perspective, it is a perfect combination with commission per stay. If commission per stay didn't exist as an option, it would be a great tool for Marriott and Hilton and nobody else.
Yeah.
But for independent hotels, it would be absolutely impossible.
But
with the commission per stay, it is absolutely a great, great place to at least try it out. I mean,
you got nothing to lose.
You have nothing to lose. It's a commission model.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I mean, from the outside looking in, and you're deeply embedded in all of this and have been for years, which is why Mirai are a successful company. For me, Google seems to have been in and around this space for a while, but the last 12, 18 months, they really seem to have driven into this area. Is there something philosophically that they've just approached it in a different way to who else has existed? Is it just because it's Google and they control so much of what we do? You know, how have they been able to get into such a dominant position in what seems like a relatively short period of time?
If if you or I were Google, right, mm-hmm. and you had access to all the queries or searches by all trillions of users, yeah. and you would see that a lot of people search for travel, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of money in the travel industry, you know that. And it makes sense, makes a lot of sense for Google to enter in that market, right? And in the Google way, which is making things easier for the user, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the goal, and it has always been the goal for Google, which is having a great experience and a seamless experience, right? And if the provider or the owner of the property of the service, no matter if it's a room or is a retail store, is able to connect to that ecosystem or platform, that's fantastic, because both the user, because of the better condition, better prices, mm-hmm. and the property owner, it will be a win-win, right?
Yeah.
The truth is that the distribution part of all the industries is much stronger, has deep pockets, and can adapt to all the things that Google does much faster than the independent, the last part of the chain, right?
Yeah.
And this is why in all the industries, distribution is very strong. It's the economy of scale, right? Google is seeing a lot of money in travel and is entering the travel industry. That's for sure. Google Hotel Ads is a very, very strong meta and a very strong platform, and is winning. And is winning in the sense that markets are on the latest data of 2020, which is a very strange year. Yeah, but let's go back to 2019, right? Yeah. Google Hotel Ads is the winning meta search player with more than 60% of the market share. Mm-hmm. Not only Mirai is an integration partner, but you talk to any integration partner.
Yeah.
I mean, you read everywhere, right? And the reasons are, I think Google has a great advantage, which is they control the gatekeeper, right? So everybody starts in Google, or pretty much everybody starts in Google. So if they are able to add those prices in a way that users don't realize that they are all of a sudden surfing in different prices. But they at first, when Google Hotel Ads was launched, users started using Google Hotel Ads without knowing that they were using a new product, right? They were just searching for a hotel. Oh, look, there are prices here.
Yeah.
So they were looking for a hotel, and Google pushed them the prices, right? I don't know if you remember that the first try attempt by Google was Google Hotel Finder. Yeah, and there was a specific URL that was google.com/hotelfinder, which is a meta specific landing page. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work, or at least it didn't work the way Google thought it was going to work. And they discontinued this Hotel Finder, which is the first name, by the way, to Google Hotel Ads, right?
Yeah.
And they realized that they shouldn't compete with TripAdvisor and Trivago doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, okay, let's have a different approach. So they invented this Google Hotel Ads. Users started using Google Hotel without knowing that they were using a meta, right? And now they kept adding new features.
Gotcha.
But such as the commission model, the commission was a very, very new, very smart approach by Google, because the mindset of the hotel is paying commissions.
Yeah.
Hoteliers are used to paying commissions, and the more commissions they pay, the better they feel, which is I think is questionable.
yeah, but they kind conclusion. Of feel they're getting something for it, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. But they feel a commission is a win-win.
Yeah.
And other metas such as Trivago, TripAdvisor, bet on a CPC model, which was hotels should become marketers, right? Mm-hmm. They should be very savvy managing their campaigns. And again, that makes a lot of sense in the States, because they are large groups with very smart people.
Yeah.
But in Europe or in Asia, where there's a lot of fragmentation in the market, hotels are not marketers. Or more importantly, they don't want to be
marketers. Well, that's the other thing. Why should they have to be marketers? They want to be hoteliers.
Absolutely. Because they can only be hoteliers because there is only one person to do everything.
Yeah.
Or two or three people.
Exactly.
Right? So make things easy.
Yeah.
And Google did that, and they launched this commission model. And hotels love it. And for us in Mirai, commission model was probably the biggest reason why most hotels moved their budgets to world class. Well, that's wrong, because hotels don't see commissions as a marketing budget.
No, that's the thing. Yeah.
Well, I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's because no matter how you call it, it's a cost for you.
Yeah, absolutely. But they don't see it in that way.
They think it's a distribution cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is all right. And okay, that's good.
You could say it's just a different line. Yeah.
I think you're mistaken, but yeah. It's a cost in the P&L, right?
Yeah.
But that's a very important thing, because for a hotel, distribution cost is something that the revenue management can accept. They don't need to go to the owner or to the CFO. Mm-hmm. Or any revenue manager has the authority to accept the distribution cost.
Yeah.
But if you ask for a marketing cost, they need the acceptance of the director of sales, marketing director, or the CFO, CEO. And then in that situation is when we start having problems.
Yeah, interesting.
Right? Interesting. So that was very, very smart.
But that's,
and the latest move is the merge with Hotel Ads. Yeah. Sorry, with Google Ads.
You're right.
So Google Ads and Hotel Ads are the same.
Starting to come together. So thinking of the second part of our discussion, so now that they have become, as you said, 60%, so become this dominant.
And growing.
So now that they have become this dominant player, apart from Google, who is actually going to benefit from this dominance? I mean, I look at this. There's kind of three groups that stand out to me in my limited. It's the meta. You've got the other meta search. You've got the OTAs, and then you've got the hotels, the hoteliers themselves. And that caveat around the hotels being the one that you've emphasized during this conversation, that you've got large groups. And then you've also got small, medium-sized group, and then fragmented independent properties as well. So that's maybe slightly more complex. There might be winners and losers in that space. But, I mean, if we maybe look at the meta search and the OTAs to start with, what's your kind of views as winners and losers in and around that space?
And that's, I mean, that's
and maybe you might want to not necessarily want to mention names specifically, but but just more broadly speaking, yeah.
But you're right in the sense that the in any industry, a monopoly is usually not good.
Yeah.
In the long run, and something that is so true that it's not worth discussing, right? Mm-hmm. Monopoly is not good. Mm-hmm. So I don't like the idea of having a single meta dominating 80% of the share.
Yeah.
At least in the long run, at least.
Yeah.
But it has some benefits at the same time. For instance, Google is a meta that is thinking a lot on the hotel, and having such as the commission model is a small thing, but
obvious one. Yeah.
They are understanding the hotel industry better than others, I think. Now, Trivago and TripAdvisor are trying to launch a commission model, which makes sense. My question is if it's too late or not. So time will say.
Time will tell.
Hopefully, it will not be too late, because I would love Trivago and TripAdvisor to exist and to do well, right?
And to offer good business to Google. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Google, I think, is adding value to hotels. So if Google keeps this line, I think hotels will have a lot to win. The losers, I think, might be the OTAs, right? Okay. Because at the end of the day, this is a zero sum, right?
Yeah, I mean.
If Google wins, the user wins, the hotel wins, the OTA can't win. It's a zero sum again. Right? If the hotel gets access to the client through Google, that means that the OTA might lose that client or that booking at least.
Yeah.
So I think Google is trying to become a tool where hotels can lean on to compete with OTAs. And I think that is true. If Google gets 95% of the market share, in Google changes its decision making process, that might be a threat for hotels. I would say that yes, but not only for hotels. Any industry that the dominant player controls 95% of the share is in the position to setting the rules, right? To setting the price. And that's not good for anybody, right?
No.
But I mean, Google is doing a good job, that's for sure. Hotels have a lot to win, and users have a lot to win. Those who have a lot to lose are the intermediation layer, not only in travel, but in all industries. And I like that picture today.
Yeah.
I don't know about the picture 10 years from today or 20 years from today.
Sure,
Hopefully that will not be my problem.
Do you see potential consolidation, acquisitions coming over the next few years born out of Google's position? And again, I wouldn't ask you to name specific names, but just a broad look towards the future?
Of numbers or valuation of companies, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So now Google can buy any company in the world, pretty much, except Amazon or Apple, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the rest can be acquired by Google, even Booking, right? Or even Expedia. So I argue, however, that at least in Europe, they will allow Google to buy any company. It would be even more dominant, right?
Yes.
Not in the States, maybe, but in Europe. So I don't think Google would buy any of these big groups. If you, for Trivago, TripAdvisor, that are not that large companies, I think that it could be a move, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that somebody buys them. Even Expedia, right? Amazon. Yeah, Amazon wants to get into the travel industry.
That was the other thing. You know, if you put Google aside, you've got a lot of players out there that maybe there could be more consolidation, acquisition to try and compete for a big
and
piece
who,
of money.
And who competes with Google from a company perspective, not travel? Who is becoming the gatekeeper of the internet, right? So Facebook and mm-hmm. Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with voice and with Alexa, right? So Amazon is definitely a competitor of Google, coming from a completely different world, right? And Amazon, if Amazon wants to get into the travel industry, it makes a lot of sense that it buys few companies. And they can buy Booking easily. They can buy Expedia easily. I'm talking in the they have the money.
Yeah, I'm talking
there's a lot of money. Of course, it would be billions.
Yeah.
But for Amazon, they
could do it.
Could do it. So they have the size, they have the scale. And Expedia, TripAdvisor, Trivago. I mean, it makes sense. I think it would be good to compete with Google Hotel Ads to have instead of 3 or 4 mid-sized place. I don't want to call Trivago to be a small company because they're not a small company. They always compare to Google, right?
Yeah.
Always compared to Amazon, right?
Yeah.
They are mid-sized companies, even Expedia, right? So I would say that it makes sense that there is some consolidation there because Google has a very, very strong engineer arm and deep pockets. And the way they evolve their product, it is by far the fastest, right? So the gap, it will grow.
It
makes sense that it grows because they have the view, they have the intelligence, they have a lot of smart people, they have engineer muscle, they have everything.
They got the money. Well, they got the resources, people and money.
Exactly.
Haven't they?
Exactly. So definitely a winner and a winner for the next 5 years for sure. The winner in sense of market share. Right.
I think the Facebook is the interesting space as well to look at, and just looking at other areas that they've been involved with and that other companies have got involved with. And then, I mean, even something as silly as Microsoft launched this online streaming for gamers to compete with the likes of Twitch. And then they're coming out of that, but they're doing a joint venture with Facebook, and Facebook are going to be taking that on. So whether or not that works or doesn't work, who knows? But it's interesting that people are trying to come up with these models that will compete with products that Google or other big players own, but finding that doing it themselves is tough. But in partnership or through consolidation or acquisition, that's how they're able to go and compete. It's natural, it's obvious, but it does. It will be interesting to see how that space within the meta, the OTA piece, starts to play out over the next few years.
And not only in the search, but especially in voice. I think voice in any device that you have at home, in the PlayStation, in Nintendo. So there's a lot of places where new generations are getting into the internet. So so my kids, for instance, they don't have a mobile phone, they don't have a tablet, but they play with their friends with the Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah.
And they are accessing the internet through Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I think all these companies are, of course, they know about this. So there are a lot of things that will happen in the coming years. And Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple are companies that will have a word to say. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And Google, of course. Yeah. Google with Google Home, they are very good with voice too. So it will be a beautiful competition, not only travel, travel will be affected, but the entire consumer retail or e-commerce.
Yeah.
Right.
So our world.
Huge battle. Absolutely. So if we talk about this level, this is when Trivago is a mid-sized company.
Yes.
And any other company, because it's the five biggest companies in the world.
You're right. You weren't being disparaging to any company, but there are just a handful of companies that are just very large, very dominant.
Correct.
And when they tend to move, everybody else tends to follow or get cast in their shadow. And that's the issue.
But there is one thing that I like, and especially about Google, that is Google has always try to defend or to think on the end consumer.
Yeah.
And if the owner of the service or the product is willing to invest in technology to connect to this ecosystem and provide a good value proposition, a better value proposition than the intermediation, you can count on Google to do that, right? So they don't want to be an intermediator. Right.
Yeah.
And they have it very clear in their DNA. They want to offer the tools so that anybody behind that wants to provide the service, and so that the end consumer gets something better, or better experience, better price, better whatever.
Yeah.
All of those are welcome. Right.
Yeah.
So far, intermediation have done the job. But if you, as an independent owner, want to jump into the bandwagon, Google, it will welcome you.
Yeah, they see themselves as an enabler, really, isn't it? That's
exactly.
Yeah,
they love that word, by the way.
Yeah,
Google has all the words that they love: like enabler, a seamless ecosystem, democratization. I think is the word they use.
Yeah.
So they have the broad words, but they're sometimes funny. But at the same time, they have a very deep meaning, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they are very strong. The content, the message is very strong.
Very good. It's always fascinating. We've been talking for a good while already, and I'm very conscious of your time. But it was great to have the chance to just talk about one particular company in a very big industry of travel, and a very big company in that space, but one that has been around for a while, made a lot of inroads in quite a relatively short period of time. And it's really interesting to watch the impact that can have. And it's great to be able to talk to someone who has seen it over the years and the changes and can see the impacts it's making. So as always, it's fascinating. And really appreciate your time. And thank you so much. Any final thoughts from your side, or have we, I mean, we've covered the main areas we wanted to touch on, but if there was anything else you wanted to say, I don't want to.
Final conclusion that I always say that is, as a hotelier, it's much more convenient, much easier to read and talk about what you have read and be in your comfort zone and doing nothing is much easier that getting out of your comfort zone and try it by yourself. So I would always suggest all the hotels to try everything out, not only what Google does, but what Trivago does, what TripAdvisor does, even what Booking does. So try it out and test it with your hotel and make your own conclusions, and don't work on conclusions of the other hotels, because your hotel might be different, or the way you drive that new feature might be different. Hotels are usually very lazy getting out of their comfort zone, especially independent hotels, because it's not their know-how, it's not their expertise. And that makes sense, but at the same time, they complain that Expedia and Booking sell a lot. So it's a trade-off, right?
I think it is, and I think it's a very good point. And what it, but it does require help and assistance.
Correct.
And I think that's the point. But you've got to start with thinking, I want to get out of my comfort zone. I want to try something. What do I not open know? Mind. Who can I find to help me and kind of, you know, not fish for me, but teach me to fish so I can learn how to do this and have greater insights and greater knowledge for the next time. Mm-hmm. And then that starts to open up avenues.
If you create the habit of trying out, testing by yourself, if trying all these things every week, every month, every 6 months, it's part of your culture, right?
Yeah.
So not only you, but your team, right? So I'm afraid that it's not the rule, it's just exception.
Yes.
It should be the rule and the exception, those that are very comfortable in their hotels.
Yeah.
If hotels were more curious or more open-minded, many more things would happen.
Yeah,
especially in the direct channel, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you know, we spoke about this in the last video, and we've done a number of others at Revenue Hub as well around the whole direct piece. And to me, it just feels like it's been the perfect opportunity to try to do more in that space. But whether people will or whether people won't, we don't know. We'll soon find out. Soon find out in another 12, 18 months' time when everyone's moaning about the OTAs again.
That is correct.
Always, as I say, always great to speak with you. Always great to get your insights and thoughts. And thank you so much for finding the time to be with us today. Much appreciated.
It's a pleasure being here. So thanks to you.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Revenue Hub podcast, and I hope that you enjoyed the conversation with Pablo. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast feeds. You can also see the interview with Pablo on our YouTube channel, along with many other videos that we're doing with thought leaders from the hotel and travel sector. Thanks a lot for listening.